I'm going to be doing a lot of editing.
Damn right you are.
Do you want a drink?
Yeah, sure. White Russian.
There's a special rung in hell reserved for people who waste good scotch.
A martini, shaken, not stirred.
Try the wine.
You slip me a bottle of bourbon, a little glass, and some ice.
It comes in pints? Oh. I'm getting one.
A drink, and I know things.
Hi, welcome to the 12th Ruminations podcast. This is Chris. I'm here with Steve, and we are here with our second ever guest, our friend Lou.
Hey.
Very enthused. So this is our Christmas episode. So Merry Christmas. We're recording on the 22nd, right? So
yeah, and hopefully
I
can edit it.
Hopefully I, Chris, can edit this by Christmas Eve, and Steve might help a little bit. I don't know, but I do all the work.
This is a complete lie.
It's not. So what we want to do is we want to talk about a few of our favorite Christmas movies. Some are a little more obscure than others. Some obviously are not. And we will then also talk about a Christmas movie that we either don't like or we maybe just don't care for, but everyone else likes it.
If you could pull up on your phone the meme that was going around social media. So that's what our conversation, I sent this picture to Chris and Lou the other day. It was going around social media on Facebook, Twitter, whatnot, Instagram, where there's 12 pictures of Christmas movies and it says pick three. You know, social media is really stupid and shallow, and you know, this is what drives the discourse every day, just people coming up with these weird social media games
as we use it.
So, yeah,
that's all we have.
I mean, it is I think a good place to start.
Did you? Oh, here it is.
Yeah.
I was like, I can't find it. Okay, I got it. Okay, so the 12 movies are National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation, 2 is Polar Express, 3 is Elf, 4 is the original Miracle on 34th Street, 5 is Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, 6 is A Christmas Story, 7 is Home Alone. Almost at home on the range. 8 is Jim Carrey's The Grinch. 9 is The Santa Claus with Tim Allen. 10 is It's a Wonderful Life. 11 is not a Christmas movie because it's Die Hard. And 12 is A Charlie Brown Christmas.
So my three, I don't even question it. My three would be A Christmas Story, It's a Wonderful Life, and Die Hard, because Die Hard is a Christmas movie.
Are you asking me that question?
No, I'm telling you it's a Christmas movie. Well, so you're wrong, what are your three?
If I had to pick three out of the 12, I would pick Rudolph, It's a Wonderful Life, and Charlie Brown Christmas.
I'm surprised The Grinch is not in your three.
Maybe you should get to know me better.
Lou, would you like to...
Yeah, I'm going to have to go with Rudolph the Santa Claus and... The fuck is this other one? Christmas Story.
was zooming in
I
on
had to
child's
zoom
face.
In on Ralphie's face to remember...
to remember the name?
Well, because I was going to call it the Ralphie movie. I know it's not. That's not what
the
it is.
The Ralphie movie.
That's what I know it is.
See, I didn't grow up with A Christmas Story. I watched it in middle school or high school, but because they play it like 24 hours in a row, well, it's like 48 hours at this point. They play Christmas Eve and Christmas.
Never stops.
So on Christmas, the last few years, I watch it probably at least 2 or 3 times every Christmas, just in different, like the scenes all out of order.
Yeah, I agree. I didn't grow up with that movie, but I like it because I've seen it. I don't know, maybe within the past 10 years, I've seen it for the first time.
It's eminently quotable. Like, all the lines are really good, the narration. The father's really funny.
It's funny.
I've grown up, like, I didn't grow up watching it. I grew up, like, hearing people reference it. So, like, I enjoyed it through, like, osmosis before I ever actually saw it.
Right.
And then when I saw it, I enjoyed it. So, it's really good.
Yeah. So, would you like to start the movie that you want to highlight?
Yeah, I think we'll come back to the whole Die Hard thing, because I think you have things to say and I have things to say. So that'll be in our like dislike segment at the end. But the first...
It's a Christmas movie.
It is or isn't?
No, it is. No, yeah, I think it's a Christmas movie.
Surrounded.
So the main part of our podcast, we're actually taking three movies that we recently watched. So the three of us have gotten together over the last month, and we've watched, I don't know, 7 or 8 different movies.
You're sitting there like,
what?
You just look like you have something really smug to say.
Just thinking about the movies. Oh,
okay.
So in the last month, we watched Jingle All the Way, which is the 90s movie with Arnold Schwarzenegger and Phil Hartman, and Sinbad.
That was a masterpiece.
We watched The Life and Adventures of Santa Claus, which is one of the more obscure Rankin and Bass movies. It's from the 80s, and it was based on a very strange fantastical novel, novella by L. Frank Baum from the early 1900s. We watched the Jim Carrey Grinch Who Stole Christmas, which I have a lot to say. We'll talk about that later. We watched A Year Without Santa Claus, which is also a Rankin and Bass movie. Then we watched three very strange Christmas movies. Lou introduced us to the Finnish movie, I think it's from 2010, mm-hmm. called Rare Exports, A Christmas Tale, which I really liked. I think Chris kind of hated it.
Well, I also had to suffer through it twice.
Yeah. Chris and Lou watched it without me, and I asked Chris, I was like, what did you watch? And Chris said, it was a very Lou movie. I have no idea what I watched. So then we watched it again when I was around.
To make sure I remembered what it was about.
Really had to get that. Yeah.
It's like a second reading. It's like when you read a book. It's like, okay, I know what it says. I got to reread.
I got to pick up on more details. There's a lot more. Yeah, the themology.
Do you know any of the themes from Rare Exports? That you watched it twice?
I think Christmas is one of them.
Santa.
Yeah. Krampus.
Oh, that's right. Krampus.
Blowing shit up.
Krampus. I forgot about Krampus.
Yeah. Psycho. I mean, we could do a whole, we could have done a whole podcast just on weird.
Yeah, oops. But no, Christmas deserves better.
Krampus is not a good movie. It's fun. Krampus. But it's not good. I liked it, but it's not good.
Fun. Good Steven.
Then we caught the second half of one of the worst movies ever made. I think it's on all the lists. Santa Claus Conquers the Martians, which is from the early 1960s, and it's like a really awful Star Trek episode with Santa Claus. And then lastly, we watched the recent, I think it came out in November, the Mel Gibson movie called Fat Man, in which a hitman is hired to kill Santa Claus, played by Mel Gibson. So those are the movies we watched over the last month.
Steve, if I could interrupt you, there is one we left off the list. It was from when me and Chris watched some stuff. I think, Chris, you omitted this one from your memory. I put on a movie called Santa Claus Meets the Ice Cream Bunny, which is a 70s film. I skimmed it, I think, when we were there, and it's one of the most incoherent messes I've ever seen. And I believe your comments on the film were, please make it stop.
I watched the whole thing.
No, I couldn't watch that.
Oh, okay.
It's an absolute nightmare.
Yeah, I did not know you watched this.
It's going to be both pronounced.
Yeah, see?
Then I put on something better. That's when we watched Rare Exports.
Something better. Would you like to go first?
Well, so we're each going to talk about one of these movies, the one that, I guess, struck us the most. For Lou, it's a childhood favorite. Chris, I think it's also another childhood favorite.
Yes.
Correct? And I'm going to talk about a movie that I saw for the first time that I really love and I plan on watching every year. Why don't we go chronologically? So, Chris, you start, since your movie's the oldest.
Okay, so I picked the 1974 Rankin-Bass film A Year Without Santa Claus. So this movie is where Heat Miser and Snow Miser come from. It stars Mickey Rooney as Santa Claus, and I've always loved it. It has the song Blue Christmas in it, which I like. I don't know, just
like
it,
Elvis is Blue Christmas.
Well, it's not Elvis isn't in the movie, Steve, but it's a young girl singing.
Uh-oh. Because I like the Elvis song.
Well, Elvis is not in it. The song is in it, okay? No, I've always loved it, so it's been a childhood favorite of mine. I remember watching it when I was little on TV, on the 25 Days of Christmas.
Which, is this the one with Heat Miser and Snow?
I just said that. I just said it has Heat Miser and Snow Miser in it.
Wait a minute.
I don't remember where it was.
You said it was a childhood favorite, and then I said, is this the one? Because I don't remember this movie, but I actually did watch it recently.
It seems like it.
It's true.
Oh, I was going to say, so they used to play it on the 25 Days of Christmas, which now suck, because now all they play is
Harry Potter.
Not even. They don't even play Harry Potter anymore. And now it's just like all these new...
Like the Hallmark movies?
And that's his own channel. No. They're like... What is it, Freeform now? Yeah, so I really don't like the ABC Family anymore because they don't play any of these movies. But I feel like A Year Without a Santa Claus is almost like a second-tier classic Christmas movie because I feel like the top tier is always like Rudolph, Santa Claus is Coming to Town, Frosty. Like, even if you buy it in a pack, mm-hmm. like they come together, Santa Claus is Coming to Town is not in that pack.
Now, do you know why?
Don't know why. My DVD came with, because all the Christmas movies always come with like a few, because they're only like 45 minutes, whatever. But my DVD came with Rudolph Shiny New Year, which we also watched. Remember Father Time?
So no wonder you guys don't remember. You watched like 15 movies in one night.
Yeah. No, but we, so that's on my DVD, Rudolph Shiny New Year. That's another one I really like.
See that? All these Rankin and Bass movies, Bass, I can't even say his name. I probably watch all of them except The Life and Adventures of Santa Claus as a kid. Like, I've seen The Little Drummer Boy. I saw the Easter Bunny one. Easter Bunny's Coming to Town. Where is that? Is that the name?
Isn't it a Peter Cottontail movie?
No, I think it's about the Easter Bunny.
Is there a Peter Cottontail, like, Rankin Bass movie?
Yeah, I didn't know that. I think
there's an Easter Bunny.
Okay, I'm going to look this up.
I saw them all as a kid, and then I kind of just forgot about them.
I'm pretty sure Easter Bunny is Coming to Town is not a movie.
Easter Bunny.
That's what he said.
No, it's obviously Santa Claus is Coming to Town, but it was Easter something.
It's the, oh my God! It is. It's the Easter Bunny's Coming to Town.
Are you serious?
Yeah, from 1977.
So it wasn't like a Mandela effect that. My memory was real.
It's the same mailman from the other movie.
I probably have more vivid memories of this movie than I do about most of the Christmas ones.
Is there like a Peter Cottontail movie?
There is. That's what I'm thinking of.
Yeah, that's the one I watched as a kid. We should watch, around Easter, we have to double feature that and Santa Claus Meets the Ice Cream Bunny. Because I want to see how far we can make it into that one.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would like to see that. I didn't know that existed.
It opens with Santa in his sleigh on a beach dancing to surf rock for like 10 minutes. I had to skip through it and I was like, is there more to this movie? Not really.
Not really. No. This is the one. That's all.
I've definitely seen that.
Peter Cottontail. I've definitely seen this one. It's kind of horrifying. So do you like Heat Miser or Snow Miser?
I like Heat Miser's heat, but I don't like him. I like Snow Miser better.
Did you see the memes comparing them to Joe Biden and Donald Trump?
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah, I think Snow Miser's a little more with it than Joe. Well, he's got a few more marbles up there, but he's not senile. He's not drooling icicles.
He's a puppet.
Yeah, you're right.
So is Joe Biden.
Oh, look, is that the Chinese? Okay. Would you like to move on?
Well, I watched this movie within the last 5 years, but I've also watched a lot of other things over the last 5 years, so I don't have vivid memories of this, so I can't really ask you more questions. I honestly don't know. So do you have more to say about this movie? Who wins? Or who's...
Okay,
can't remember which one is more successful.
Heat Miser... Here's the deal.
Successful.
Do you have comments on this?
Who's got the bigger investment portfolio?
Heat Miser and Snow Miser are brothers who are the... They are brothers and they're the children of Mother Nature. who Mrs. Okay. Claus goes to meet because the two stupid elves left. What is it, Vixen or what? One of the female reindeers down in Southtown, USA. So they need to get the reindeer out, and the whole premise is that they need it to snow in Southtown. And the only way that's going to happen is if they get Heat Miser to let Snow Miser send snow. And Snow Miser says, well, every time I do this, Heat Miser turns into rain. And they haven't had snow in Southtown in like 100 years or whatever. So they want that to happen. And eventually they cook up a deal, and I think, I don't remember what the deal is. there's snow in Southtown and something else, and I gotta come back to that because I don't remember.
Well, I feel like most of the people listening, you know, all five people, probably know the movie better than I do, so they probably understand right, what you're talking about.
But I should know it better than I do, so.
That's all right. I saw it, and I don't, this is all news to me.
Yeah, I think that's a lot to say about this movie. I promise I'll be much better in the Star Wars podcast because I have everything written out for that.
All right. Okay, so that was Santa Claus is coming. Or was that was sad. A year without a Santa Claus.
Yeah, it was like a podcast without Chris.
All right, so Lou, your movie is next.
Thank you.
First of all, we'll preface this saying that we know Lou from high school, but I've known you since elementary school. Yeah. So we go way back. So we've brought Lou behind the curtain here. He's totally judging us. <It's> like, why am I friends with these people?
They're so incompetent.
It's true. I mean, I don't have a podcast.
So Lou, you showed us the other day a movie that I had seen as a kid. And then never had gone back to it. Whereas Chris, you had never seen it.
Yeah, I've never seen this movie.
So, bring it away.
Yeah, so the movie that I'm going to be talking about is Jingle All the Way. It's a movie about capitalism, jetpacks, and Arnold Schwarzenegger's big muscles.
Capitalism.
So Arnold's the plot is Arnold Schwarzenegger's an extremely busy man that doesn't have time to go to his kid's weird karate tournament where they... I don't know, karate chop blocks that have belts in them, and then he...
And who's his kid? Who's
oh, kid? And that's even important. Even more important, Jake Lloyd is his kid, Anakin Skywalker from the Phantom Menace. And
the only other movie he ever did.
Yeah,
right?
He's done exactly two movies. He's done...
And they're both amazing.
Yeah, they're both masterpieces that, you know...
Cinematic
masterpieces that shape the foundation of my upbringing. So Arnold Schwarzenegger is too busy to get his kid like a knockoff Buzz Lightyear Power Ranger called Turbo Man. So what he does is on Christmas Eve, he goes out to basically every store in the whatever city he's in.
I think he's in...
They're in Minnesota.
Yeah, is it? Minneapolis, I think.
Okay.
Now that's appropriate.
Yeah, they got a big shipment of Turbo Men in this year. And
defund the Turbo Men.
Yeah, you just couldn't say that! Defund the Turbo Men! Start a Turbo Man occupying zone.
Taz.
Get one?
So. Yeah, so Turbo Man gets defunded and Arnold can't find any across the entire city. And he runs into Sinbad, who's a mailman, also doing the same thing, looking to get his kid a Turbo Man the day before Christmas. And it leads to a lot of wacky hijinks of the two of them getting into fights all over the city, competing with each other, looking for this toy. They get into a mall stampede. They ambush a DJ who's offering a coupon for Turbo Man, and then Arnold kicks his glass door in and scares the man, and then Sinbad threatens to blow the building up. Then Arnold's car gets... While this is happening, Arnold's car gets torn apart. Like, it's just a shell. I don't know if you guys remember that shot, but Arnold comes out of the... It's always struck me as odd because Arnold comes out of the radio station and, like, walks back to this diner he was at in a previous scene, and his car is just It's just there's no doors. I think the windshield's gone and there's no tires. So someone robbed every aspect of his car except the car itself. And so Arnold, you know, is unsuccessful in getting this toy for his kid. He gets into a fight with Phil Hartman and then Phil Hartman's reindeer.
Because Phil Hartman wants to sleep with his wife. Phil Hartman plays his neighbor.
I left that out. Phil Hartman plays his neighbor and is desperately trying to bang Arnold's wife, which I don't know why you would ever try to do that, and take his cookies.
Because he's a pushover.
Yeah, exactly.
He's a giant pushover in this movie.
Which is, I think, the reason why I watched this as a kid, and then my parents told me, like, oh, this isn't a good Christmas movie. You can't watch it again.
I mean, as a Christmas movie, it's really not. It doesn't have any core family values. It's just an insane mess. And it culminates with Arnold Schwarzenegger and Sinbad dressing up. Arnold ends up in a... They end up in, like, the equivalent of, like, the Macy's Day Parade. And Arnold ends up getting stuck in a fully functional Turbo Man costume with a working jetpack. And Sinbad ends up in a costume as Turbo Man's rival. And they have a long drawn out brawl across the city for the fate of Jake Lloyd, and then the movie ends.
Well, you and your brother Mike know this movie so well
inside and out
that you noticed a man that was edited into the shot.
Yeah, my brother and I.
Can you talk about that?
Yeah, so my brother and I have been watching this movie for.
I don't know how you noticed that. So I mean, even you pointing it out to me, I was like, okay, I see it now. But like,
how would you ever notice? Exactly. That was a recent find in our... So my brother and I have watched this movie a countless amount of times. It's in like the top of
like
our...
Like another film.
There's another film we've watched that... I don't know which one we've watched more, but they're probably neck and neck. And...
It's Mike Myers' Cat in the Hat, which is amazing.
The gold, certified gold film.
We'll talk about that more with the Grinch.
Yeah.
So, Jingle All the Way, my brother and I have watched this movie so many times that we almost can't watch the movie anymore. Like, we don't really, like, we know the plot sort of inside and out. And when we watch the movie, we just pay attention to new weird background details and weird extras. So we notice that they were trying to cover up something in the shot. So they poorly digitally composited a man selling popcorn. Like just flatly over someone else,
and it was literally for one 5-second shot.
Yeah, it's one shot,
and then he doesn't appear again.
Yeah, there's another one where I think it's a shot of Jake Lloyd talking, and then Arnold is behind him, and it's supposed to be like Arnold in his Turbo Man costume, and then his wife with her arms around it. But you can clearly see it is their very manly hands around Arnold's waist. It's another one. There's a bunch of. The extras, if anyone ever watches this movie, then the extras are they're their own treat. on a second viewing.
Yeah, I'd have to watch that movie again.
I had a blast watching it. The line where Arnold yells at Phil Hartman over the phone, where he's like, put that cookie down now. I think there was a video going around. It was like the Nick Cage losing his shit video. It was like 150 Arnold Schwarzenegger, like the best lines in any of his movies. And that, so that's one of them. But it's like the rest of the movie... is even more absurd than that line.
Yeah, that line kind of like fades into the background of like the rest of everything else going on.
There's also the scene where, well, you know what that movie has a lot of are zoom in on like people's faces.
Well, because it's very
and like light, like so awkward. Like, yeah, so there's the famous shot of Arnold with like the light on his eyes, and I didn't know what that was from until.
Oh yeah, where she's like, you got Turbo Man, a Turbo Man doll, right? He's like, oh yeah, and then she says, well, because they probably. Are all sold out, and there's a zoom into Arnold's face where he looks, he completely
like
breaks the fourth wall.
On his face too.
Yeah. Just hamming up for the camera.
They zoom into Arnold's face so many times in this movie.
You know, Arnold is this action star, Terminator, blowing up people, but watching this movie, you're like, this man was a governor.
I said that to you halfway. I'm like, this man became governor.
Do you remember the scene?
It's funny because this is probably more like him. Like he's like probably like this,
yeah. Like this is him, and this is more closer to Arnold in real life, impersonating detectives.
Well, because wasn't there a video?
Facts you basing that opinion on?
Wasn't there a video earlier?
I like the idea of that. So I'm agreeing with them. Yeah, I don't have any facts.
earlier in quarantine where he was feeding a donkey in his house?
I remember that. Why'd he do that?
Because he's a wacko. I don't know. Yeah,
it's true. He's got a lot of money. He's like, the one's a donkey. Give it to me. Now.
What's Jake Lloyd's name? Cheney? In the movie? Don't you dare tell me you don't know. You probably know the name of the actor who played the popcorn man.
Isn't it Timmy?
No.
It's Jamie.
Jamie.
No, it's Cheney. Like, no, Cheney.
I think it's not Jamie.
Jamie. Why would who would name their
I don't
son
know. I was wondering.
It's like a first name.
Hold on. It's complicated. That's right.
Now I'm just picturing like a Jake Lloyd heighted Dick Cheney. How'd you feel about the scene of Jake Lloyd taking a shot of like a shot of whiskey in the diner?
Oh my god.
You're right.
It's right, Jamie.
Maybe I'm listening to R like Cheney.
I mean, yeah, it's a yeah,
right. So what was that scene? He was at a diner with Sinbad, who was like an alcoholic and unstable. What does he say?
So Sinbad tells him a story about how he used, there was like a toy he wanted as a kid, and he used to live someone that became like a billionaire. He's like, if I only got that toy, I'd have become the next Elon Musk and not this guy. So if you don't get your kid Turbo Man, he's going to be a failure. And then it cuts from Arnold to Jake Lloyd in Sinbad's clothes with a bottle of bourbon. And he says, "Here's to you, Dad," and chugs it.
And now he's in a cycle.
And now Jake Lloyd.
Yeah, I feel bad about
that. On top of interacting with Jar Jar, now he's in a psych ward.
Yeah. Can you blame him?
No, he's probably hearing Chief Palpatine's voice in his head.
God, I wish that was me.
And so do I. I pray every night.
Come to me, Chief.
Chief,
Daddy
come.
Palpatine.
Visit me in my dream, Chief.
Visit me, Chief.
So do we have any more thoughts on Jingle All the Way?
I think that sums it up.
I loved it. Like, I plan on watching it.
Yeah, we'd like to watch it again.
To my Christmas repertoire.
I think probably my favorite part of the movie was Sinbad. Because I really like Sinbad. Like, I recently listened to some of his stand-up. I just really liked him, so I liked him in this film a lot. So, he looks ridiculous with the mailman outfit on. Like, What did I say? His Sinbad's smile is disarming.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Just like, his man could have... He could have ran over like five people, and if I was the cop pulling him over and he gave me that smile, I'd be like, yeah, you didn't mean it, did you? No, officer, I didn't mean it, and I let him
die. Yeah, of course.
Yeah, I'm like, yeah, it's okay.
Yeah, that wraps up my thoughts on
Jingle All the Way.
Your dissertation.
my thesis.
This is why we invited you on, Lou, because
thank you.
That's your expertise.
So, Steve, would you like to talk about your movie next?
Sure. Well, as opposed to what?
I don't know. I was transitioning, you f***ing asshole. This podcast should go up unedited.
Raw. Raw. All right, kids, we're going to talk about the deep state.
So now I will talk about my movie, which is Fat Man, which came out in...
You say it so straight, like... there's no chuckle. It's just like you say it like you're saying Schindler's List. Like oh, this movie, Mel Gibson film named Fat. It's like another Mel Gibson film, Passion of the Christ. Like Mel Gibson film named Batman came out. It's like how do you say this with such a straight face?
Are you calling this the Schindler's List of Christmas movies?
I'm calling it the Passion of the Christ. I'm calling it the Mad Max of Christmas.
What is the
movies.
Passion of the Christ? Be the Passion of the Christ of Christmas movies.
No. The Passion of the Christ is the Passion of the Christ of Easter movies.
At what point in that movie was that man born?
He was before
it. He was being murdered. He was being whipped by Roman soldiers.
Yeah, but like, you know, before you can infer that.
Alright, so since Chris takes fault in how I'm saying this, I'm going to talk about Fat Man, which is an amazing movie that came out this year. All my Twitter friends were talking about it. Sonny Bunch from the Washington Post and the Bulwark was talking about how amazing it is. Chris is making fun of me for mentioning people. Fat Man. I didn't know it existed because, you know, with quarantine and COVID, movie theaters are shut down. Like, no movies are coming out. So this movie dropped, I guess, in select theaters, but it was on demand. And I don't know, I guess it was October, so it was like a month out. I saw the trailer on Twitter, and it was completely absurd. Like, the trailer was done completely seriously. It was filmed like a trailer to something like John Wick or some other type of revenge movie where this hitman is chasing after this grizzled old guy who you could tell has like a mysterious past, and he's like cocking his gun saying like, oh, I'll be ready. And it's Mel Gibson and Walton Goggins. Walton Goggins is the hitman, and Mel Gibson is the grizzled guy with a beard. And then you realize that, wait, this is a Christmas movie, and Mel Gibson is playing Santa Claus. So I sent it to Lou, I sent it to Chris, I sent it to a few other friends, and I was like, I think this movie is real. Like, this isn't a joke trailer. And then, lo and behold, about a month later, it drops, and a bunch of podcasts like have episodes on it, and we rented it, and it was amazing.
Yeah, it was fantastic.
Like, it was really good. So the premise is, I guess the catalyst of the movie doesn't happen until like 20 minutes in. So you get some character development where, so you meet Santa and his wife. So he's down on his luck, kind of bitter. He's living in Alaska somewhere. He's just kind of fed up with how dark the world has gotten, how people don't care anymore, how they're mean-spirited and have lost their faith and they're not kind to one another. So he's kind of losing his faith in the system. We meet this kid who, he's the rich son of someone important. If he's a mob boss, a businessman, something. And he's shaking down his friends, and he's trying to win a science fair, and he doesn't win. So he then hires a hitman to harass his classmate. So then she gives him his first prize. And then with the hitman, you realize that...
It was meant so I could... It wouldn't interrupt you. And now this would stop your flow of chi.
Do you have a pen?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'd like to respond.
Go on.
All right, okay. So we meet the hitman, who's played by Walton Goggins. And not only does he work for this kid, but we get the sense of his character where he's collecting memorabilia created and made by Santa Claus. Mm-hmm. So in the world of the movie, Santa Claus is real. Everybody acknowledges that Santa is real.
Well, Santa is real.
Well, yeah. But, like, some people don't believe in Santa.
Well, they're stupid.
Yeah.
Okay.
They're not Christians.
So then we get to the actual meat of the movie, where it's actually Christmas, and the kid who's mean to his classmates, he wakes up and he gets coal in a stocking. So he calls the hitman that he's worked with before, and he says, I want you to get me the fat man's head. So now Walton Goggins, who has a gripe against Santa because he only ever got one toy for Christmas, because he had a terrible childhood and he wasn't a good kid either. So he's always had it out for Santa. So now he actually has to go hunt for Santa. And the movie is just Walton Goggins traveling through Alaska, stopping off at random places and interacting with locals, and then getting to the North Pole. All the while, Santa is dealing with the U.S. military, who's contracted him to create military weapons because his elves are efficient. It's completely absurd, but it's done completely seriously. So all the lines that are meant to be funny come off extremely funny. Like, it's not trying to be a comedy. It's trying to be an action movie that just has this black humor about it.
It's played so extremely straight. Like, I wasn't expecting it. Like, it takes itself so seriously.
And I think that works. That's why it works. Because if it was a little bit tongue-in-cheek, you'd be like, all right, I mean...
It would feel dumb, because they do a lot of the, like, a lot of, like, Santa as an allegory for, like, factory owners, and, like, the whole thing is, like, some sort of allegory for, like, manufacturing. Like, I think that maybe works a little better, because they are taking it seriously.
Right, and, like Santa gets up, and he gives a speech, oh, I'm gonna have to lay off workers, I'm so sorry, and it's, like, it's Santa talking to elves.
Which is hilarious, like, Santa trying to tell the elves that they might have to have some cutbacks in the workforce.
But then, you come to terms throughout the movie, and just with things that happen, that Santa's like this omniscient creature, that he's not just, oh, this jolly guy in the North Pole creating toys. It's like, no, he's like a god, like a superhero, super being. He's getting shot in the face and he's fine, and he's just exacting vengeance on people. Like, I think this is a great movie, and I think more people need to see it.
I like the kid because the kid is from The Good Boys.
Yeah.
And he's the one that calls the main character Sippy Cup. Yeah. Or one of the main characters Sippy Cup. That was a movie we watched over the summer.
Yeah.
And when you sent the trailer out, and I'm like, oh, that's the Sippy Cup kid. As he's yelling, Fat Man. You'll pay for this, Fat Man.
And I like Walton Goggins and everything I've ever seen him in.
Yeah,
he's great. Because he has this funny charm to him anyway. Like, he was in Justified. He's been in a bunch of Tarantino movies.
His southern charm.
Yeah.
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 He does tell me that man doesn't have southern charm.
It's like sweet tea. It's like if sweet tea was a person.
And it's like, there's so many good lines in this movie. So the kid says... Savannah,
Georgia was a person.
The kid says...
It would be him.
I want Santa's head, and he's like, it's going to be all gross and decomposed. Like, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to carry around a head. He's like, well, I want his beard. It's like, I'm not shaving a fat man, a fat dead man's beard. I'm going to kill him, and then that's going to be it. And Mel Gibson's great. I mean, he's kind of grizzled and
I don't think
disillusioned
exactly.
in
I think he's
general.
Just, like,
it's
just
him.
Showed up, and it's like, oh. This is what he looks like when
no,
he's
what
not...
are you pissed off about this week?
Exactly. What's this week's rant, Mel?
I've listened to a few podcasts with the two directors of the movie, the writer-directors, who spent like 15 years developing this movie. They wrote the script and they pitched it to people, and the producers were like, this is great, but you guys are nobodies. We're not going to let you direct. So then they wrote and directed like 3 or 4 other movies. They had Octavia Spencer in a movie, because they were friends with her before she was famous. And they finally got to make this movie, and they pitched it to a bunch of people. They sent the script to Mel Gibson because they saw him, I think he had directed Hacksaw Ridge, and they saw him on a panel with a beard, and they're like, he looks like Santa Claus, like he'd be amazing. So they emailed him the script, and then he wrote back a week later, I love it, but he didn't, his email was weird. It didn't say Mel Gibson, and they're like, oh, that's great. Like, who is this? And it's like, oh, it's Mel Gibson. They're like, holy shit. Okay. I just love this movie so much. And like, it's not perfect, but it's pretty damn good.
It's good for what it is.
Yeah. Like, it's a fun little revenge movie, and if you like action movies, if you like movies with great lines, and if you you like more oddball Christmas movies, I would recommend this.
So his name's not Walter Goggins?
It's Walton.
Wow. I almost corrected you a few times, then I realized I was wrong.
When this movie comes out on Blu-ray, I want to buy it. I really liked it. I know, Lou, you really liked it.
I loved it.
In that face.
Chris, you weren't super crazy about it, right?
I liked that, man.
Right, but you didn't like it like we liked it.
You gotta watch it again.
Exactly. Yeah. No, I did like it.
Well,
because I think I only bring it up because it's
then the Christmas.
Because I think you tend to not like Christmas movies when they're not overly Christmas.
I know what you're getting at.
Which,
but because
I'm done talking about this, so we want to veer into our next conversation.
Well, because I've come to terms that it's a Christmas movie, but I still don't. I'm not a fan.
About Die Hard?
Yes.
Okay.
So, I did not grow up seeing Die Hard. This was not a Christmas tradition of mine. I had only seen Die Hard, I think, for the first time in the past decade. So, in the past 10 years.
But you watched it after everybody was talking about it being a Christmas movie.
Well, okay, so exactly. So, I up until whenever I saw it, I had never seen it. And I, obviously. So, I had never seen the movie. And I never thought of Die Hard as a Christmas movie. I never heard of it as a Christmas movie. I guess I'm the only one. So I just always assumed, oh, Die Hard was an action movie. And it was like later on, I'm like, oh, it's a Christmas movie. I'm like, no, it's not. It's stupid. I'm like, it's not a Christmas movie. And then I watched it, and I was being indignant. And
you were extremely indignant
and contrarian.
Well, I think the take that Die Hard was a Christmas movie is a contrarian take. It's just become
opinion now. Because the thing is, I love Christmas movies. Like, I'm talking like the Rankin Bass Christmas movies. So when people say, if I ask someone, oh, what's your favorite Christmas movie? And they tell me Die Hard.
It pisses you off.
It's like, well, can you give me a real answer? Like,
I used to proudly say Die Hard's a Christmas movie. Now everyone says it.
Right, so and it's
I'm
not
like,
funny.
I'm
anymore.
Like, it's not funny. I'm like, ah.
But in a way, but then it's like it's accepted at this point.
Yeah.
So it's like, oh, Die Hard's being played on Christmas. It's like I'm gonna freaking watch.
Yeah, exactly. Oh yeah. If people are gonna like once now that it's kind of in like that sort of in joke is sort of in like the perspective of everyone. They're like, oh, it might be a Christmas movie or not. Like people do play it.
Right. So. Yeah. But I think thematically it works. Yeah, like it is a Christmas movie thematically.
Okay, I'm agreeing with you. So we're not gonna have an up battle because you're wrong in that one. But yes, Lou.
No, I.
Do you like Up, Lou?
What?
Do you like the Pixar movie Up?
Never seen it.
Good.
All right. So you can't
keep it that way.
You can't weigh in.
I had not really like an important point, but I wanted to bring to you guys' attention. I don't know if I believe it is the Chinese poster for Die Hard. it is this gold. It is known as a reluctant hero, and the tagline is "Reluctant hero must defeat his enemies. He has no shoes."
It's fairly accurate.
Reluctant hero 2. the tagline is "His wife is in danger, but this time he has shoes."
Well, these are the same people that translated the Jedi as the Presbyterian Church.
That is one of the best things.
Oh my god!
What is the name of that? It's the
Chinese
Revenge of the Jedi in the West or something.
Yeah, yeah, the Chinese dub of
I don't know what it's like called. Subtitling of Presbyterian Church. There's a few other great lines in that one, but
it's also voice acted, which is the amazing part.
I know I want to rewatch.
Me too. I haven't seen it in a while. I love that. Sorry, sidetracked.
That's fine. You know why though? Because Die Hard deserves to be sidetracked. It's not that great.
Die Hard is probably the best action movie around. I don't know. It would be like Die Hard, Predator, Aliens. But John Wick is kind of derivative of that kind of stuff. I mean, maybe the first John Wick.
That's I can't agree with that take. That's a hot take. I can't agree with Chris.
I don't like her. I mean, maybe if I see it again, I'll like it. I don't care. Yeah.
So you don't really like action movies.
But I like certain action movies.
What action movies do you like?
John Wick. I just said it. Like,
well, I know, but like...
Besides John Wick.
You can't just say I like action movies and when I say which ones,
I didn't
John
say
Wick.
Like I like...
Gotta have more.
I don't know. I guess Die Hard just has a... It's rubbed me the wrong way. So
right.
I'm anti-Die Hard.
But it has Alan Rickman in it.
Yeah, but it's not like cool Alan
Rickman. I mean, it's literally like the movie that made Alan Rickman's career.
Not the Alan Rickman I remember.
Yeah, well.
Those are my unpopular takes on Die Hard. I think it's an unpopular take because I like this movie, but Steve does not like this movie. And I don't know about Lou.
Well,
I think Lou's still coming to terms with this film.
I guess before I go into mine, do you have a Christmas movie that you despise?
Despise?
No, despise is
no,
too
despise
strong.
Is wrong because I don't despise the Grinch.
Like,
I just find
just a
it.
Movie you don't like,
or you find it annoying, like people hate Love Actually.
Oh, Elf.
Elf. Okay.
I don't hate Elf. I actually watched it over the weekend, and
I've only seen it once.
I don't think it deserves the praise it does
as one of the
greatest Christmas movies of all time. Like
a modern one.
Yeah, like, oh, this is a modern classic. I think it's a good Christmas movie, and it's, like, a good movie. It kind of just feels like a Will Ferrell movie. Like, I don't know. Like,
a PG Will Ferrell
movie. Yeah, it's a PG Will Ferrell movie. And I don't hate the movie, but I've never, like, agreed with the overwhelming love of it as being, like, an absolute classic. I like the beginning when he's in the North Pole, and I like the visuals on that. And from there, I don't really remember. Like, I can't really speak to much of it. Like, Peter Dinklage shows up.
That scene is funny, but I wouldn't say it makes the movie amazing.
Yeah, it doesn't. It's not like, I'm not like, God, what a classic Christmas scene when Will Ferrell fights a tiny man.
When it came out, no one knew who Peter Dinklage was.
He was still short. The joke was still, the comedy was still carried through. He is much shorter than Will Ferrell and everyone else in the room.
I'm just saying, if we had done this podcast, like, years ago, you would never have mentioned
who. Before Game of Thrones,
the Game of Thrones, it would have been them.
Game of Thrones is, look, it's the guy from Elf.
Now he's like...
Yeah. Still the guy from Game of Thrones?
Now he's the guy from Game of Thrones and Elf.
And he's rich.
That's true.
Well, yeah.
And he has two Emmys.
He apparently likes to play words with friends.
Oh. Wow. Good for him. Good for him playing a game that's been irrelevant for 8 years.
Chris is our resident random fact expert. It's funny because you texted me today, how do you get rid of hiccups?
You asked him? You have the world's knowledge in your pocket. You asked Steve?
It comes full circle.
God. I did look it up, but then I also wanted to ask him.
I was like, I don't know, drink water.
With the hiccups all day. God. I'm surprised I made it through most of this.
So should we stop until they go away? Should we stop until they go away?
To your fight against the hiccups?
Yeah, but I'm going to talk and it's going to be like...
And we'll make a noise.
Okay, so Lou talked about help. So
that was involuntary. I'm sorry.
I mean, hiccups are involuntary.
I have another one.
Okay.
I haven't seen all of it, but from what I've seen, it's one of the most ghoulish depict like things I've ever seen on screen. It's the Polar Express with Tom Hanks.
Yes.
So I've never seen that precisely for those reasons.
It looks like
Because I've seen it and I was just like, it just looks weird. And I read the book and I don't really care, so I've never watched.
I really like the book. I have nostalgia for the book. The movies.
It's a bunch of people made out of just past al dente pasta, just flopping around, not really having any sort of like bone structure or like acceptance of physics.
I don't know what that means.
I think my esophagus is in flames. Oh my god.
Descriptions.
It's like, you know, you overcook pasta and it's like limp. Yeah.
It's bouchon.
Yeah.
Bouchon. Oh, my throat is raw. It's like the whiskey went down and then it went back up. So it was double the burn.
Al dente. You like your pasta al dente?
I do. I love al dente.
It's supposed to be al dente.
Yeah.
I know.
Al dente or nothing.
I'm asking if he likes it. Certain people don't like it.
Somebody with a vowel at the end of his name, he better damn well should like al dente. Okay. So we talked about Elf. We talked about Polar Express. So my gripe every year, we have the same conversation every year. It's about Dr. Seuss's How the Grinch Stole Christmas by Ron Howard, which is now 20 years old. And we just watched it.
Is it really?
Yes. Wow. It came out in 2000. So we just watched it this past weekend. Every year, every Christmas season. Well, first of all, Chris is talking about that movie in like July. He's like, we got to watch The Grinch.
There's a reason, because I saw another movie in July.
No, I just mean in general.
Another Seussical film.
Okay, all right. So I'll explain that. So every year, way before Christmas, you're like, we got to watch The Grinch, and it's like The Grinch and Nightmare Before Christmas have the same. They're the same in my mind. It's like I don't dislike them, But I just, they're just so overbearing. It's like, I just leave me alone. And every year, Chris is like, I'm in the mood to watch The Grinch. I'm in the mood to watch The Grinch. And I wind up enjoying it when I watch it because Jim Carrey is hysterical. Jeffrey Tambor is hysterical. But the art direction and the set design and the and Ron Howard's direction is just abysmal. And I, like, everything is shot at a Dutch angle. The Who's are hideous. The Grinch is disgusting. He's so gross. Like, the whole movie, I'm just grossed out. And then I'm laughing at Jim Carrey being funny. But, oh, I hate the aesthetics of that movie so much. Contrasted with the Cat in the Hat with Mike Myers, which Lou introduced us to that movie over the summer. That movie looks like Citizen Kane compared to The Grinch.
Movie is a goddamn cinematic masterpiece.
Like, Emmanuel Lubezki, who won 3 Oscars in a row for cinematography, shot that movie, and it's brilliantly shot. It looks amazing, whereas The Grinch... Ron Howard as a director is fine. He's just not, I don't know, like, it's, I don't even think it's his direction. It's just the, like, I don't know why every shot of Whoville has to be catacorner. Like, it's, everything's sideways. It's completely absurd.
Is there an actor, a director that uses a lot of Dutch angles?
When I think of Dutch angles, I think of Battlefield Earth.
Oh my god, yeah. Battlefield Earth of Christmas movies.
Yeah,
I'm sorry. Just in the realm of angles. Of shot angles. Nothing else. I wouldn't compare this film to Dutch angle or Battlefield Earth other than the cinematography.
Well, because all of the Grinch scenes are great. Because I it's like Jim Carrey, I think, could be annoying, but I do find him funny. And even under, like, 10 pounds of makeup, he's still, like, he has that elasticity of his face. And some of his lines are great.
He's genuinely really good. I think he's good as the Grinch. I think, like, he's, like, I really enjoy him in the film.
Chris still has makeup. Just so, since we're all very loud and Chris has the hiccups, we're all drinking Knob Creek, Malavita, tequila, High West whiskey, limoncello, so...
Homemade limoncello.
Chris's homemade limoncello.
I love The Grinch. Can I have some?
Yeah, I was just going to say, you need to do something.
What are you going to do for me?
So I end up... Every year, I watch the movie, and I end up enjoying it because I do find some of it really funny, but it's... It seems like it's 3 hours. It's under 2 hours.
It does. I agree. The first half
of the movie is unnecessary.
I thought I was there forever.
Yeah.
The crux of it is when he's invited down to be the cheermeister because Cindy Lou Who nominates him. So they bring him down and then they make fun of him or they give him a razor and yeah, it's basically what it is. But
except Quasimodo doesn't burn down Notre Dame.
We did that too. Mother Nature did that. Or the Muslim terrorists did that. Like, that's the best part of the movie. It's the whole cheermeister where she invites him and then he's like, what do I wear? And he kidnaps the yodeler and, like, that's genuinely funny. And Jeffrey Tambor is funny.
He's very funny.
But he's still not Jeffrey, like, he's not George Bluth or Malenkov from Death of Stalin. He's still kind of restrained by the Who makeup. Like, he's not as Jeffrey Tambor as he could be.
No. So, I really liked the movie when I was younger. I mean, I still like the original more, but I find Jim Carrey funny, so. I tried to share a bit of Christmas joy with everyone, and everyone didn't like The Grinch.
I also liked the film.
I enjoyed it. Okay. There were some scenes I like, and then just as sort of just a like a sort of Christmas themed fever dream, I appreciated for that, for just sort of the like the amount of things on screen at one time, and like just sort of like the overall, like, I don't mean that completely sarcastically, like I genuinely enjoyed a lot of like just like the visual energy of the movie and just how like bizarre and like absurd it is, because you know, I really like the Cat in the Hat, so it kind of like gave me some similar feelings, and I really like Jim Carrey.
Yeah, I mean, now that everything's a cinematic universe, I will say
yeah,
The Grinch and the Cat in the Hat are in the same cinematic
universe. The Seuss cinematic universe.
The Seussical.
That it's wasted potential, that there was never more additions to the
Seuss universe. There should have been more, like, early 2000s Dr. Seuss adaptations would have been, like the Lorax with live-action Danny DeVito would have been, like, an astronomically better film.
Yeah, we could do a whole podcast just on the Cat in the Hat.
Oh, God, yeah.
Because it's... I think this summer, you showed it to us in June because we watched it outside because mm-hmm. we were still in quarantine. And I think we watched it like six times.
We watched it so much this summer. We usually like pick a point in the movie and just like
let it like play we would out. Skip to like when the cat at least gets there and then let it roll. Okay. It's.
Speaking of Jim Carrey, just to not to sidetrack too much, I watched Jim and Andy last night, the documentary about him making the Andy Kaufman biopic.
Yeah.
And it was by the end of it, it was just basically Jim Carrey. Jim Carrey claimed that the ghost of Andy Kaufman possessed him so that he could use that as an excuse to just be drink heavily and be an asshole on set for 2 months. There is a character that I don't know too much about Andy Kaufman, but there's like a character that's like a just like an asshole like singer that like he plays, and like Jim Carrey was like shot some scenes as that character, but he just kept the makeup on, and there's just scenes and scenes of him just yelling, just getting blackout drunk and yelling at like the cast and crew of the movie, and he's like, yeah, I was possessed by the ghost of Andy Kaufman. I had no control of this.
Is that going to be Tom Cruise's excuse after the rant that he came out with?
See, I'm fine with his rant. It's like how people... Tom Cruise is literally dangling from buildings and airplanes. I understand him getting annoyed if people do things that will cause the film to shut down. Personally, sorry, Tom Cruise is...
I don't really care. He's a gabillionaire. I don't really care what he's yelling about, but...
Well, I don't care either, but... It doesn't bother me that he yelled. It's like, first of all, everyone in Hollywood's an asshole. Secondly, he's yelling about something that kind of makes sense. So it's like, it really doesn't matter.
What did Tom Cruise yell about? I'm unfamiliar with his
He rant. Was yelling at people for not socially distancing on set. And he was like, oh, you're going to be fired. If I ever see this again, you are going to cause thousands of people to lose their jobs if we have to shut down this movie. It's like, all right, I'm fine with that. He probably shouldn't have screamed.
Mm-hmm.
But they're celebrities. Like, they're wackos.
Yeah. Wait, so is that the... What was he filming? What movie was that?
Mission Impossible 7.
Was that the movie doing the space scene?
I guess. I don't know. Is that in the next movie?
That's what I've heard, is that he's going to be, like, it's going to be the first action scene shot in space is, like, his claim to fame for this one. Yeah, like, they're...
Well, like, zero gravity. Like, they'll go high enough where they're floating.
Oh, okay.
Like, they're not actually in space, but they're close.
I think it was going to, like, you can see stars and stuff.
Yeah. I don't know if it's that movie, but it might be. And Crystal is a hiccups. It's been like 10 minutes.
I'm sorry.
Like a pat on the back to clear those up.
Do you need us to scare you?
Diaper.
Not the water worked before.
Did it though. It did. Steve, how do you cure hiccups?
I don't know.
Let's ask the
You get that. Scared?
No, apparently you drink water really slowly.
All right.
What if you drink limoncello really slowly?
Yes. We're really fans.
So I'm done talking about Christmas movies. Do you guys have any last thoughts about anything we discussed? Thank you, Lou, for joining us.
Oh, of course. Thank you for having me.
When we do have an episode on the Cat in the Hat, of course, you're going to be the guest.
The cat.
I mean, there are no movies coming out, so it's like, what are we going to talk about?
Yeah, talk about the Cat in the Hat. We talk about Wonder Woman 1984.
Well, I actually want to see that, but I heard it's bad.
I haven't seen the first one, which I've heard was decent. Yeah, I'm burnt out on superhero movies. It's not.
No.
Oh, all right.
It's fine. Like
I didn't really.
It's
one of the better DC movies.
It feels like female centric Captain America: First Avenger. Like, it's basically the same movie.
Oh,
and I'm not really
that movie. Yeah, exactly. I like that movie at all.
I was going to say, I'm not really that much of a fan. That one.
Yeah.
So, that sucks.
But Pedro Pascal is in this one, so I'm looking forward to him.
I like him.
And that, you know, that ever-elusive next Star Wars podcast is...
Yeah, well, we are going to record it next week.
being told, being yelled at.
Well, we have a reason.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
So, episode 13 will be Star Wars.
You can lower your fist. If you don't, you obviously can't see this, but he's shaking his fist at me and threatening me.
We tease.
This is why I have hiccups. You're trying to.
I'm trying to scare you into.
He's giving off a threatening aura.
Yes, because that's literally the description of me, threatening.
You're tall.
I'm more like Arnold in Jingle All the Way.
More like Jake Lloyd. You're like Turbo Man.
All right, on that note, everybody, Merry Christmas, and thank you for listening.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
We'll see you for the next episode, and Happy New Year.